Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 105, How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be program number 207. If you'd like a copy of this program, get your paper and pencil or pen and paper together so that at the end of the program, Sharon will show you four different ways that you can get a copy of this CD or the audio tape. Whichever one you order will be free of charge. That even includes postage and handling. God gave me eternal life free of charge and gave me the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that I have, and I don't charge for it. It was given to me to give out to you, to give to everyone that wants it. All right, so we have some letters, scriptures, and a whole new rash of false doctrine that I've heard preachers teaching, one of them from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. His name is Coy, one of the most miserable. I heard him dismantle the third chapter of Galatians, unbelievably so. And if I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that because I've got so much else here. But the man is an out-and-out heretic. He's so young that it's impossible for him to be anything other than a novice. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord. Lord, there isn't anything I personally can say because I need... you need my mouth. You said, take my yoke upon you. That means your work. Lord, I've heard this preacher telling, and I'm sure you know of him, that you called a nation of sons, not slaves. Well, the Apostle Paul called himself a slave. We are sons, but we must be under tutors, governors, teachers, preachers, helpers, until the fullness of time. And so we are to be slaves. We're your friend if we do everything that you say, if we are doing the things that you say. This is what you said. Now, the heretics say something else. But I would rather believe you than the heretics. Your word says that people are to obey their husbands in all things, everything, and to obey those that have the rule over them. You tell men to love their wives. That means to teach them. If they don't receive the teaching, well, then they're like unto heretics, and you're to not have anything to do with them, as David did. Put them in ward. Lord, anoint. You're already anointing the service. As you did, I didn't even pray the other day, but I know that many messages that you had have brought in the Bible, that you preached in the Bible, that you taught in the Bible, you didn't pray before it. The anointing just came down and you started talking. Lord, I ask that everything is said straight from your throne by the Spirit, and that every person's heart is open to hear the truth, not a twisted version of it. That their minds are open, their spirits, to receive salvation and power and wisdom and knowledge. That they're able to make it through these last days. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name that the souls will be saved and the church will be strengthened in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's your first letter from?
From Kenya, East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. I have been listening to your program for a long time, which has enabled me to receive salvation and strengthened my faith. It's a pleasure to listen to direct truth about the prophecies of God being brought in these last days. Those who are truly in Christ will know the truth. I thank God that you preach it without hiding any truth. Please send me a Bible and some Christian literature with Christian love, signed Christine from Kenya, East Africa.
Okay, next.
Next letter is from Zambia, Central Africa. Dear Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continue being faithful to him who called you and sent you, for many be called, but very few are chosen who are blessed like you. I hope and trust the Almighty God is looking after you very well with your family. I am a pastor of the small home church called Remnant Church. I separated from the denominational church many years ago for its apostasy. We are the candlesticks which have been removed out of a devil-snared church. I am writing this letter to you so that you can help us in our missionary work materially. We need some holy Bibles and audio tapes in our missionary work. In our area, many people do not have holy Bibles, which is very sad to hear in these last days of the earth's history. Your help will mean a lot to us and will serve many souls in this sinful world. Please assist us. Many people in our area, Kawamba, do not have Bibles. I write to you because through Jesus Christ, you are our only hope. Please continue doing the tremendous work you are doing on Radio East Africa, and very soon God will reward you. Please do not stop. We are enjoying very much your program on the Radio East Africa, The Message of Hope. I am 69 years old, and my dear wife, she's 67 years old. We will be very grateful if you will send us some of your t-shirts, only four, one for me, one for my dear wife, and two for our children, size large. Thank you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you soon. Your little flock member in Zambia, yours faithfully, Chabala from Zambia.
Well, don't worry. I won't be stopping the, as long as there's breath in my body and time on radio to be had or television. I'll be there. All right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, brother. And you be there, too. We'll see each other. If we don't see each other in this world, we'll see each other in heaven. All right, then what?
The next letter is from Decima Region, Chile. Dear servant Tony Alamo, from the Alamo Christian Ministries.
See, the man, there's a man that says, God did not call a nation of servants, but a nation of sons. Well, we're going to read some scriptures here today that shows that Jesus himself, even though he be a son, he was had to be a servant until he was made perfect. So it shows also that Jesus was not born perfect. That I'm going to prove that today. And either are we born again perfect. There's different levels that we attain to if we continue on. And the Bible states that he was made perfect by obedience. And that's the way we're made perfect also. Is that don't consider yourself as being perfect by any means. Because some of you are at a very low level in the body of Christ, and you need to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ to become perfect. Jesus, in the fullness of time, became perfect at the age of 30, and that's when the Lord called him into the ministry. By obedience and by his sufferings is what made him perfect, because through obedience, through the sufferings, he remained obedient. A lot of people, when they're going through trials and tribulations, they throw in the towel. They just say, I can't take this any longer. And they figure themselves, they start thinking with their carnal mind, which is made out of dirt, instead of listening to the scriptures and seeing that even the Son was faithful as a servant until the fullness of time. Then God called him into the ministry. And he was baptized with the Holy Spirit as John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, placed him into the water in the River Jordan. And he came up and the Spirit came down like a dove saying, and the word of God came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so he became perfect. He was made perfect. In other words, by obedience until the fullness of time. So a lot of people think they're Christians and they say, well, you're no different than me. Well, somebody that 42 years of faithfulness in the Word is a lot different than you if you're just, first of all, there's all types of parts of the body. Everyone can't be a nose. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, there'd be a big nose, you know, for a body, and you'd have to get into the Lord's nose, and you'd become a nose as well. Amen?
Amen?
There's different parts, and so there is difference in the offices of the body of Christ. And so keep your place, all right? Mm-hmm. And realize that you have to be obedient on a daily basis in order to gain perfection. And we're going to read those scriptures in just a few minutes. It says the same thing goes with us. I'm paraphrasing now. That we must be obedient until the fullness of time. We have to press on to the mark. We have to become, we have to strive for perfection. You're not perfect now. Jesus wasn't perfect then either. He was a baby. Do you think that the baby could be anointed to go out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? Mm. Well, then he wasn't perfect yet, right?
Right.
He had to grow to adulthood in order to, and he had to, by obedience, by suffering and being obedient while he was going through the sufferings, he was made perfect. Do you understand that? Now, if the Lord had to do that, the Bible says, then you and I have to do that as well. So some babes or people that have been in the ministry, they may be 10, 20, 30, 40 years old, and they think they're perfect, and you see them on television, they're novices, and they don't even know what they're talking about. Hopefully they're saved, and hopefully they'll listen to my broadcast and be able to and receive the things that I've learned down through the years, through the Spirit and through going through trials and sufferings. And hopefully I feel that I've I'm still learning. I have to learn every day. I have to keep striving. I have to read the Word. I've had a sister tell me one time that she'd been in the ministry so long that she doesn't have to read the Bible anymore. Boy, I'll tell you. In other words, God hasn't got anything else to feed that woman. That's absolute insanity. You know that you can't say that. You have to learn from the Lord every day. He's got far more to teach you than you could ever learn in a lifetime. And I believe that's why Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach. When I listen to women teach for any length of time, I can see why Paul said that. Sometimes they bring really good messages, but they're... eventually they go into a spin. Okay, you've got another letter here?
Yes, the one from Chile. It says, greetings and blessings in the Lord. May the Most High God be blessing and prospering your Christian work each day. May He give you and your family good health each day to continue preaching this precious message and winning a lot of souls for Christ. Before I go into another subject, I thank you for your literature, because this literature spreads out like wheat, and it is a blessing to each person who receives it. I want to request messages on video and music videos of the church. It doesn't matter that it's not in Spanish. It is to only know you and the hymns. I also want to petition you for 2 boxes of monthly assorted literature and Bibles, since the people receive the material like fresh bread. This is all for now. Thank you and blessings. My family sends their regards to you. This, if possible, answer me back by email. Maranatha, signed Jose, from Decima Region, Chile.
Okay, when you see people that are perfect yet, they haven't become perfect, you can tell it because they argue with the person that God has called to be the leader, number one leader in the whole world. Those people are insane, absolutely insane, and they argue about everything. And I reckon maybe this is why the Lord has given me this message for today, all right? Because they're at a very, I don't even know if they're in the level of in any level in the body of Christ, because anybody that would do that could not be of the Lord. Absolutely not. I know that from the Word of God alone and from the Spirit that anoints me. Okay, you've got one more?
Yes, from Kampala, Uganda. Hello, Evangelist Tony Alamo. Thank you very much, sir, for the good words you are preaching to us in your nice and precious program, The Truth, the Light, and Life. It is wonderful for us all who have God's life through Christ here on earth, and to love God our Creator. My fellow brethren, I ask you kindly to help us daily with the truth, that we don't fall away again into the world. But if we hear your messages, it will enable us to let God's kingdom live out its life in and through us. I say to you, continue on and work hard for helping those in need. I remain yours, Julie from Kampala, Uganda.
Praise the Lord. Right, that's very good. Those are really wonderful letters. Now, you know, people that are like that, that are not in the body of Christ, and they argue and fight with the leaders that God has called in very supernatural ways, they become enraged. There's like demons inside of them, and they just want to start throwing things around the room. I've never seen anything like it. We've had to ask several people like that to leave the church. And of course, they join up with a bunch of other demons out in the world, and they come against us, but the Lord told me, don't even worry about them. He says, don't worry about them. I'm going to destroy them. And I thank God that, you know, God is God and not them. All right, now we have, now where were we in the scriptures first that we left off?
We were on verse 14 of Hebrews.
Chapter 1?
Chapter 1.
Okay, well, let's start. How many more verses have you got there?
It's the last verse of that chapter, and then you've got four verses of chapter 2.
Okay, let's go ahead. Let's hear that.
But angels are only servants.
Yes, angels are servants. Jesus, the Bible says that he was a good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
And why? Because he was a man. Truly, there's two aspects that the Bible talks of Jesus with. One is that he's a man, and it's very important for people to believe that. And then on the other hand, it tells that he is God, because he's God-man. God was in him. God came to the world in the form, or in the flesh, blood, and bone of man. And don't let anybody kid you or tell you a lie. Anyone that doesn't say that is an antichrist. We saw Reverend Hagee and many other quote reverends on TV say that Christ had God's blood. But God didn't have any blood. That's why he had to come to the world as a human, to have genuine human blood. And he came in the flesh to show the power of God. Well, how did he show the power of God? The power of God he showed was that no human being ever kept the commandments of the Lord from Adam until Christ. No one could. I mean, the law was there, and they kept breaking the law, and they had to keep getting their sins forgiven. And in order to do that, God had the law of sacrifices. Well, the law of sacrifices is done away with now because Christ became the one sacrifice. All those animal sacrifices were pointing to the true sacrifice, which was Jesus. And when Jesus came, that ended the burnt offerings and the spilling and the murdering or the killing of the blood of these animals. They were symbolic of Jesus. So when he came, he died once and for all, for everybody. Everybody that wanted to have victory over sin, Satan, and the world. Now, a lot of people say, well, he did all the work. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. So uneducated, unmature teachers are saying, well, that means that you're supposed to rest. Jesus did all the work. He says, take my yoke upon you. That means my work upon you, for my burden is easy and light. So he says, I'll give you rest. That means I'll give you the power to rest from your old sinful life. And my yoke is easy and light. Well, it's just like myself. Some people say, how can you possibly be a person that never really cared that much for school? And how could I possibly be the principal of many schools? A person that didn't care about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, nothing before I had this supernatural experience with the Lord. How could I take on this work? Well, because the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is in me, and it's like a labor of love. People that are around me will tell you that it doesn't even look like I'm working. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm conducting all sorts of different, I'm teaching people business, and I tell them how to do business. I am a pastor, and I do tapes, and I instruct people that have businesses. I instruct them on how to run them properly, because people know, or they say all the time, that I'm awesome in business. And I tell them, yes, but I'm also, you know, very good in the spiritual realm as well. And some people, they shut their mouths because they're carnal. They're thinking about business, and they don't want to talk to me about being spiritual. But I consider myself a spiritual being. God has called a nation of spirit sons. But the sons, in order to be in the kingdom of heaven, must be obedient while they're here on this earth. Okay? He also called a nation of spirit kings. A nation of kings to be in the kingdom of heaven, because there are many provinces, many different sections of heaven, and the Lord loves to use humanity to rule for him. Remember, the Lord is not going to usurp the authority of man on this earth, because he gave the rulership of this world over to mankind. Now, it was lost until Jesus came, and then Jesus regained in the flesh, the human flesh, blood and bone, he regained rulership of this world. And so what the Lord, his purpose was to extend the kingdom of heaven into this world. And in order to for him to do that, he has to have sons. But the sons, in order to extend the kingdom of heaven into this world, they have to be obedient sons, i.e. servants or slaves. Now, we're going to be a slave one way or another. We're going to be a slave to sin or to the Lord or sin. And a person that sins is a slave to sin. And in other words, they're a servant of sin, or Satan is their god. But a person that puts away sin and comes to the Lord for rest, or our eternal Sabbath, because our eternity starts here in the kingdom of heaven. When the Lord is living in us, then we're eternal. We are the Bible tells us that we're sitting in the throne with Christ above all powers and principalities. And because we're in his body. And if we're in his body, Jesus never sat idle. He was always working. And so we're the continuation of the working incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. So anyone that says that Christ did all the work, that in could be construed, if they knew what the Word of God meant, that yes, he is doing all the work in and through us. It's the continuation of his work here. And if people are not interested in doing or abiding in him, if they were abiding in him and he were in them, then they would know without a doubt that Christ requires work, because he said he's going to judge us for the works that we let him do in and through us, and we co-work with him. Yoking up with Jesus means that it's he and ourselves that are doing the work, and it's easy. People that are around me all day say, it doesn't even look like you're working, and my God, you're about for the church or for people, properties over here. You instruct them to get a bunch of cars over there. You're instructing people in Europe, in China, in all over the world on what to do, and then you're doing messages, and you give messages for people that are dying, and you pray for people during the day. You're overseeing children and adults, and also rebuking and throwing, you know, putting devils out of the church, left at one right after the other. And if people think that I don't like that, I love it. I love the work of the Lord. It doesn't put any pressure on me whatsoever. And they say, how do you do all this? Besides, I'm doing other things that I don't mention. You know, I'm recording. I'm doing motion pictures. I'm reviewing scripts, writing scripts, synopsises. God, I can't remember everything I do. Sometimes I even go shopping. Okay? And it doesn't seem like work at all to me. Because why? Because it's the Holy Spirit. All right? And so that's why the work is easy and light. It's because the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily is living in me. And it's the Lord that's doing the work, and it's like an easy thing. And that's what it means when people, it says that, you know, we're not supposed to be taking the scriptures as though it's some, we get so involved in doing things for the Lord that is out of the Spirit, because a lot of people just, they're like, satanic spirits are like, just, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this and that and this and that and this and that. We have to keep busy every second or else God's going to sling us into hell and everything. No. The Bible says that we have to walk, let the Spirit lead us. And the Spirit is not going to lead you that way. In other words, that's what it says, we're not saved by the law. The law doesn't save anyone, it condemns them. And they're all trying to, you know, in other words, like it's like when I got saved, I was just praising and thanking the Lord and worshiping with all my heart and soul, and I could feel the Spirit cascading down from the kingdom of heaven, and I still do. And yet some people, they take the law upon themselves, and it's like somebody coming up to them, okay, you believe in Jesus now, huh? Well, here's about 45 books that's got the law in it. All right, now there's 3,000 some odd law. Now you start keeping the law. Well, first of all, there's no more law of sacrifices of animals, amen?
Amen.
And we don't know what to do unless it's the Holy Spirit leading us, and that's why you're not really of the Lord unless the Holy Spirit is in you. Because the Holy Spirit makes it easy for me to serve the Lord. And Buster says the same thing. He says, it's such a joy. You know, he's doing all sorts of things all over the place. He's flying to Africa. He's over in New York, over in Portsmouth, over in Texarkana, in Los Angeles, and flying. He says, it's so much fun. He said, I thought it was exciting before I was saved, and that's exactly the way it really is when you're living by the Spirit. I can't be like reading rule books every second. I know what the Bible says. You have to know what the Bible says. And it's for sure, you have to keep the law. Not the law of sacrifices, and not the law of circumcision, and not all these other laws of pots and pans and washings and all these type of things. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Just walk in the Spirit. And the Lord will tell you when to praise and thank Him and glorify Him and everything. And if you're in the Spirit, the Bible says you're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And so what we need to do in order to be perfect, we're reading scriptures in that regard and messages. We have to be children of the kingdom. Not of a religion. Now, we have to be in the sons of the kingdom. It's a kingdom full of sons. Because God extended His kingdom here into this world. And He wants us to bring about the kingdom of heaven. And that the only way that can happen, no one can come unto the Lord unless the Spirit leads them. So we have to be spiritual beings, kings and priests. And we're talking primarily about kings now, so that we will be able to rule this world. Because if we're in Christ, then He wants us to continue ruling the world now. If you're back in Christianity, if you're now a child of the kingdom, then God extending His kingdom to this world then you have to rule it. I mean, if you are a ruler. But as I said before, not everybody in the kingdom is a ruler. You may be a king, but you have your position in the kingdom. And God calls rulers. Like, there wasn't two Moseses or two Joshuas. There was just one. And so people have to follow the orders of Moses and Joshua. The people all said, anyone that won't listen to you, we'll kill him. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
We'll kill them. If they don't hearken unto your voice, we're going to kill them. And so, but God, you know, people should beware, because if the Lord, now we have the New Testament, and this is where the Lord spoke to us now. And so if people died without mercy under the jurisdiction of Moses, the one who spoke on earth, then how much more do you think the punishment should be to those that will not listen to him that speaketh from heaven? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so continue reading.
But angels are only servants. They are spirits sent
from
God. Right,
we're all servants until we come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, until we've reached maturity. And when the time comes, then we will... Now, here, read some of this right here. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, in other words, he, Jesus, were a son, and though we, when we accept the Lord into our heart with the Father by the Spirit, we cry, Abba, and he says, what manner of love does the Lord have towards us? That he should call us sons, because he never even called angels a son. Amen?
Amen.
But though we, or he and we, he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So he had to go through all sorts of trials and tribulations, so it could be a testimony to us who would come afterwards, that he was like tested. In other words, he's showing off that the power of God in a human body that had never kept the commandments, couldn't keep the commandments of the Lord, now he came into the world and proved that a human body with the power of God in it can continue ruling the world. That's why it's an abomination to God and to any true red-blooded Christian that would say that the authorities on this earth is the Antichrist, or this world government, the head of it, which is the Roman Catholic cult, and the media. They are not the rulers. Now, the Lord said that every king has a kingdom. Every kingdom has a king. Right?
Right.
And every kingdom has a territory. And the Lord's territory is the kingdom of heaven. He wants to expand it, to extend it to the earth here. He said, let my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's telling his sons, rule according to my will, okay? Not the will of the Antichrist. And if you don't believe that, then you are part of the Antichrist regime. Okay, so when we are confronted with Antichrist, or they say, you're a servant of God, yeah, well, yes, because we're yoked with him. We rest from our old labors. We rest from our being obedient to the devil. And now we're obedient to the Lord. And the reason for that is we're here as ambassadors from heaven to extend the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And that's why the Lord tells us to tell people the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, if we're really from the kingdom of heaven, either we're insane or we're maniacs or liars. if we say we're of the kingdom of heaven and we're really not, and if we're liars and maniacs and there really is a kingdom of heaven and there's really a hell, then we're going to go to hell if we're liars. And who is a liar but the one that says that Christ did not come into the world with flesh, in the flesh, with blood and bone. He that saith that he did not come in the flesh, in the blood, in the bone, is an antichrist. So all these preachers that are telling you that, they're antichrists. They don't want you to believe that you can be perfect. And the Bible plainly tells us that we can be perfect. So it says, though he be, he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So, in other words, he went through sufferings. And so, if you're of the Lord, then he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And the more they persecute you, is more of a sign that you're really of the Lord. There are people out there, I mean, I can't even get a credit card. There's people out there that are backslider, they're devils, right out of hell, and they're like doing everything in their power to try to do something, but the Lord won't let them. Okay? So he was made obedience by the things which he suffered. So when you're going through these trials and tribulations and being thrown in prison falsely and everything, if you're still obedient, that you don't throw the towel in and start raging out like some devil-possessed person that doesn't like to receive the things of the Lord and doesn't have the Lord living in them, well, then you are obedient if you go through the sufferings, still praising and thanking the Lord and still witnessing and testifying and still bringing about the kingdom of God while you're on earth, because you're... The Lord has extended the kingdom through his sons, which are servants for a while. Now, the Bible says that God made Jesus a servant, and it says that he made him a little lower than the angels for a while. Just for a while. In other words, to come down here and show that flesh is weak, but with the Spirit of God in it, we're powerful. We're more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
If God be with us, who could be against us? And that's why I stand up before the God of this earth. This is means the entire Antichrist system and even little snips that think they're something and they're nothing. I don't even consider them to be saved. That's why I put up with that stuff, but I don't really put up with it. I do what the Lord tells me to do. If there's unruly people, if they receive not the word of God, well, I put them out of the church. Well, you're going to be, people will say things about you that they surely do. But I surely am not afraid of them. I'm more fearful of the Lord than I am of them. Wouldn't you be?
Yes.
If you wouldn't, you're not of the Lord. And it says, and him being made perfect. I mean, this man became perfect by being obedient, through obedience. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not the one world government, not the Antichrist government, cult, or media. You must obey the Lord. That is, if you want to be saved. Now that is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And then we have Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew. Well, I mean, if he was perfect, he wouldn't have been a baby at first, right?
Right.
He had to grow. Amen?
Amen.
And he waxed strong in spirit. In other words, he, as we are supposed to do, we're supposed to get stronger in the Holy Spirit every day. You're never to get weak, you're never to fall back, you're never to turn back. But Luke 2:40 says, quote, and the child grew and waxed, got strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and power of God, was with him. Well, when we become born again of Christians, the power of God is with us too. Now, of course, he had the power of God in him when he was born. And God made him a little baby, a baby boy. And he was born of a virgin, but he was still in all ways, in every way, he was like unto us. So that he could help us. He was tempted just like we are, but he never threw the towel in. He never growled like a devil out of hell and argued with God or the ones that God put over him, like his mother and father, his stepfather. But he was obedient to them as a son until the fullness of time, which was about 30 years old. And he was called into the ministry, baptized by John the Baptist with the Holy Spirit, which gave him not only the Spirit in him was God, but he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to go through all the trials and tribulations that one goes through when they're in the ministry. All right, so the grace of God was with him. Now, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. Now, if he was perfect, then he what would he have to increase for? Amen?
Amen.
So he wasn't perfect when he was born. The Spirit of God in him was perfect, but in the Spirit of God that's in you when you become born again is perfect as well. But you still have to keep your flesh under the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. You have to make yourself. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit if you want to grow, increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's Luke 2:52. So in all ways, Christ was made, we're made like unto Christ, and Christ was made like unto us, so that he could go through a human life and know what we're going through. If you itch, he itched. If you get hungry, he got hungry. If you would hurt if somebody put nails in your hand and feet, your hands and feet, and poked a spear into your side, and pulled your beard or your hair out, and knocked you in the face and beat you to a pulp, he hurt too. Now, if you think that he didn't hurt, then you make the scriptures a lie. Now, Galatians 4:1-5, quote, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child," in other words, as long as Jesus was a child and not fully perfect yet in the flesh, "differeth nothing from a servant." And so this man is saying God never called servants. Oh yes, he did. Amen?
Amen.
We're called to serve God with him in us, to allow him to use our bodies. Why would he want to own our bodies? Why did he pay for our bodies to live in with his precious blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary if he didn't want us to do his work or to do his work with him? So he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So he's Lord of all, and we're in his body, so we're members of the Lord of all. But still, we're not perfect yet. We must grow on a continuous basis, continually, until the day comes forth, until the time comes where the Lord does with us whatever he wants to do, because we can't be trusted of the Lord if we get angry and argue with the people that are the rulers in the Lord here on earth. You can't be used by the Lord. You've got too short of a fuse. That doesn't make you anything but a weakling or a person that doesn't even have the power of God in you. So, though he be Lord of all, he's still the servant. He's a servant, though he even be the Lord God in the flesh. And so we are the Lord God in the flesh too. He calls us sons, amen?
Amen.
So if we're sons, they say, well, then we're not servants. Well, we're servants until the time we're called up into the kingdom of heaven. And we're called up right now, but we still have to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but it says, so even though he's the Lord of all, he's still a servant, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So he had to be under tutors and governors. He had to subject himself unto his mother and dad. Amen?
Amen.
So we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Jesus never was, but he still wasn't perfect yet. He had to prove that he was going to be perfect all the way until he reached the fullness of the stature of the living God here on earth in a human body. But when we were saved, we were much older than he, because I was saved at the age 30. And now I'm still... It says, the Bible says for us to strive for perfection. If these people that say no one is perfect, well, as long as we're in the Holy Spirit and we're striving for perfection to learn more and more, and as long as we're teaching people, we're working in the gospel field, then according to God, we're perfect. I don't go by your judgment, I go by the judgment of the Lord, which gives me great confidence to approach the throne of the living God, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved. And I have gone through fire, and I've gone through trials and tribulations, and I've gone through it. In the world, most of the people I've dealt with, you know, I wouldn't even speak to them before, let alone deal with them. I wouldn't deal with them. But in the Lord, I want to be perfect, and therefore I do what he says. So we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when we, when the fullness of the time was had come, God sent forth his Son. So when the time came for us to be saved, God sent forth his Son into us to make us so that we're not under subjection to the elements of the world, that we're under subjection to the Holy Spirit if we surrender ourselves unto the Holy Spirit. If we discipline ourselves to be under the Holy Spirit. It's just like when people want to lose weight. I mean, they have to discipline themselves not to take cookies, candies, cakes, pies, and stuff like I did when I first got out of prison. I was in prison for the gospel's sake. Because if you do, you know, we're like bags, you know. A grocery bag, when it gets full, it bulges, right? So you got to watch it. You got to put a knife to your throat if you want to lose weight. You say, well, I have no control over that. Yes, you do. I never saw a cookie jump into your mouth. Right? You had to go and take it, okay? So you have to discipline yourself. I never saw a piece of cake cut itself and just fly through the air into your mouth. So you have power over that. Amen?
Amen.
You can discipline yourself. Okay, so when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. What does that mean, redeem them? Well, he wanted to get us back to where we're ruling the world, because we originally were the rulers of the world. God gave humanity rulership over this world. And so if we're really truly redeemed, as the Bible says we are, then we're rulers of the world. What else? Okay, that was his purpose, is to redeem us to be rulers of the world. Now, if we're rulers, we have to rule. or we have to be under the rulership of the Lord, which means that we're going to have to listen to whoever the Lord puts as ruler over us. Well, people say, well, they're cult leaders. No, whoever's saying that is the cult leader. Amen?
Amen.
They're leading you astray. All right? So I'm telling you what the Bible says here. Now, so to redeem them that were under the law. Well, does that mean that the law is done away with? Absolutely not. God gives us the power to where we can keep the moral law, plus all the other laws that the Lord has in the New Testament. You can't look upon a woman with lust, or you can't look upon a man with lust in your heart, especially if you're married, or especially if it's a married woman or man that you're lusting after. That's a no-no, all right? And we're not any longer, so we have to keep the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is mentioned. Then there's another law, the law of sin and death. So if you sin, then you're a servant of sin instead of the servant of the Lord. And you're not going to grow in stature with the Lord, in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but you're going to just keep getting more and more corrupt because of something out in the world that you're lusting after, and you're trying to chip on your shoulder, and you may be trying to get kicked out of the church so that you think that you'll be able to have an excuse at the judgment bar of God at the great white throne to say, Tony kicked us out. Well, because if you want to sin, and if you don't want to live according to perfection and strive for perfection, well, then, of course, because the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation says, measure them up. Measure people with the word of God, because that's the measuring rod. And if they don't measure up, put them outside with the Gentiles. Because we live really good in the body, in the the kingdom life. And it's not very nice out there in the world, full of all the diseases and the cursings that are out there, where the Gentiles are. But we're living in the commonwealth of the kingdom. And that means everybody commonly has everything they need. Now, if you say, well, I'm in church and everything, and I still want to have all kinds of illicit sex. Yeah, you need to go out in the world. Okay, because you can't do that here. Not in the church. Now, there's a lot of churches you can do that in, and I suggest that you would go to one of those, because God is going to have a real church here on this earth, and this is it. And there's plenty of brothers and sisters all over the world that are getting saved, and they're following the same doctrine from the Bible that I believe. And those churches you could go to. I mean, you can't go there if you're going to sin either. Okay, so the Lord, for those that were under the law, what that means is under the condemnation of the law. Because the law has got a big club and just wants to smash you down into hell. And all God did was take you through the blood of Jesus out of the condemnation of the law. He didn't end the law. But he gives you a second chance. He washes the slate clean from the former sins that you did. But he says, if you go again after knowing the truth, after being washed in the blood, and after tasting the Spirit, and being around the throne, praying up there amongst the saints and around the throne of God, and that you would fall back into the world, there's no more repentance for you. No more forgiveness, all right? So to redeem us that were under the law, the condemnation of the law is what that means. These novices don't understand that for some reason, no matter how many times they're told that. They just don't read the Bible, and they don't understand what the Bible is saying anyway, because they don't, somehow God hasn't given them the anointing. That we might become the adoption of sons. But remember, a son is still under subjection of the Spirit of God in you, and you must, as the Son said, he says, take my yoke upon you And so, because my work is easy and light. And anyone that sees me working, they don't think I'm working at all. They probably think I'm loafing. Huh. But it's not so. All right, I see my time is up. Wish I had more time because I've got about, actually, I've got about 300, 400, maybe 500 messages that I could go. Okay, but I don't want anybody to fall asleep on me here. All right, so now those of you that would like to be born again of the Spirit, become adopted into the family of God so that you could be called a son. God doesn't even call the angels. Never has he ever called an angel a son. But you still have to be obedient, okay? So you can start, you can be a son now by just the beginning of a sonship. And you can continue on if you're faithful. Just start to say this prayer. You may say, well, I'll wait until tomorrow. No, if you're saying no now, I'll wait a while, you're saying no. You're rejecting the Lord. So if you're saying, yes, I will say this prayer to the Lord, then you're saying, yes, you're accepting him. Don't think you're doing God any big favor, because God is doing you a favor. You're going to get into the commonwealth of the Lord. So say this prayer. Say to God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God, the Spirit, Jesus himself, raised himself up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Precious Lord, precious soul. That's all we really have is our soul. And we have the Lord if you accept him. Now, thank and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now share and tell them how they can get a copy of tape or CD 207.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on these lines, Lord willing, tomorrow. It'll be part number 106, and tomorrow will be program number 208. Till then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, glorify God by letting him live in you and work in you and get to work for the Lord. That's why Satan has taken over this world, is because there's so many false prophets and people are believing them. God bless you. Amen.